Well, I'm glad you're here. Glad our team got back safely. Glad Brother Tommy asked me to speak today. And I really believe that what I have to say to you today is from the Lord. And that's exciting, because if I'm right, then somebody here needs to hear what we're going to talk about today. And if that's God's plan, then He wants to do something for you. He wants to do something for you. So I hope you listen. I hope you get it. But I need you to help me. Before we get started, we're going to be in 1 John, by the way. We started studying 1 John a few weeks ago in our Sunday school class. And it's been interesting to me. I've never taught through the book before. So we started three or four, maybe five weeks ago. And we just started chapter 3 today. But I want you to help me with something, get this thing going. I want to ask you something, and I want you to respond. How do we know? How do we know? Huh? No, I knew you were going to say it. Know what? Anything. How do we know anything? Okay. What if it's not spiritually related? How do we know anything? Evidence which is facts. What else helps once you have some facts? Experience? Boy, you're on a roll. Testifying. She said being a witness. So testifying. All right, so I need to use a couple of you to illustrate this. I'm going to pick on Clint first. Clint, besides work and besides family, what's your most favorite hobby or pastime? Say it again. To hunt. All right, in order to determine whether or not you're actually a hunter, we need some facts. We need some testimony. What's the first thing you got to have, provided you're going to hunt legally? Yeah. All right, a license. Y'all agree with that? The state of Florida, if he's going to hunt in the state of Florida, has to issue him a license so that he can hunt under the Florida guidelines. All right? What else does Clint need if he's a hunter? Weapon. All right, weapons. Do you own weapons? All right, what kind of weapons? Shotgun, rifle, bow. All right. You don't have a black powder gun because you always borrow your daddy's, right? Yeah. All right. So he listed 3 weapons. All right. What else do you need if you're going to hunt? Okay. But you don't have to own that. Okay. You're going to try to be, well, let me back up just a little bit. What kind of hunting you like to do? And? All right. Went turkey hunting this morning, matter of fact, I think. But you don't want to go out there with like something Courtney's got on. So you want to be concealed, camouflage. Do you own camouflage? All right. So he's got a license. He's got weapons. What else you need, especially if you're hunting turkey? Calls. Got to attract them. Okay, so he's got a license, he's got camouflage, he's got weapons, he's got calls. Can anybody here say for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that Clint owns those things? Courtney, Brooke, Trevor, his dad. Can anybody here testify that Clint is a hunter? Have you ever been with him and actually seen him hunt? Trevor, Courtney, Alex, Paul, myself. All right, so even if you didn't know Clint, by the facts and the testimony that you've heard today, couldn't you infer that Clint is a hunter? All right. So we got facts and we got testimony. Brother Leonard, besides working and family, what's your funnest thing to do? Hobby or fish? All right. Now, as a hunter, you got to have a license. As a fisherman, do you have to have a license? All right. Does he have one? Okay. Well, he said when you get old, you don't have to have one. All right. One good thing about getting old, isn't it? All right, what else you need?
A boat. I got rid of one.
A boat? You need a boat. And you got three of them? Okay. So that tells me you need a boat for different types of fishing, just like you need different weapons and different calls for different types of hunting. All right, so he's got a license. He's got a boat. So I'm assuming that you got tackle. Rods, reels, line, baits, all that kind of stuff. Okay. So he's got all that stuff. Okay, but you don't need camo. Because fish are down in the water, you're up in... Okay, so you don't need camo. All right. Yeah. So Brother Leonard's got a license to fish. He's got three different boats for three different types of fishing. Got all the tackle for the different types of fishing. So, we need some testimony. Has anybody ever seen Brother Leonard take this stuff he says he's got out and use it for catching fish? Anybody here can testify? Miss Diana, my dad, Brother Don, and Brother Tom, and Brother Paul. And good grief. So, those of you that might not know Leonard Potter, by the facts that we've presented, by the testimony that's been given, anybody here doubt that he's a fisherman? Okay. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. You got to have facts, and you got to have testimony. How do you know? How do you know? You got to have facts, and you got to have testimony. 1 John chapter 2. Now, before I read this, please understand this. I'm not saying this. I'm not saying this. John is saying it. And John is saying it under the inspiration of God, who created the woods that we can hunt in, who created the rivers and lakes that we can fish in, and provided the wildlife that we can harvest and provide meat for our family. He's saying this, not me, okay? 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6. He says, "Now by this we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments..." Now by this we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments. He who says, "I know him," and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Just as he walked. So we're going to examine some facts and see if there's any testimony so that we can know. These three verses right here are an excellent test, excellent self-test that we can take on ourselves. I don't have to take it on you. You don't have to take it on me. We can take it of ourselves and see if we know the Lord. Because I'm convinced, no matter how good a hunter you are, no matter how good a fisherman you are, no matter how good a mechanic you are, no matter how good a engineer you are, or CPA you are, or lawyer you are, the most important fact that you can know is that I know the Lord and that he knows me. Because there's nothing else. When you take your last breath, the only thing that's going to matter is, do I know the Lord? Well, you can examine yourself today with this passage of Scripture. Number one, are we obeying the Lord? That's what he says there in verse 3. By this we know that we know him if we are, number one, keeping his commandments. Are we obeying the Lord? Obeying the Lord. Obeying the Lord how? Well, by keeping his commandments. Well, what are the commandments? Are you talking about the Old Testament commandments? Well, we can use those. Let's start with honoring your mother and father. That's a commandment. Are we honoring our mother and father? Loving your neighbor as yourself. Am I loving my neighbor as myself? Am I loving God with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength and all my might? Am I keeping his commandments? If I am going to pass this test, I'm going to have to be able to say yes to this question. Am I obeying the Lord? Am I keeping his commandment? Am I keeping his word? He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And by this we know that we are in him. Am I keeping his word? Well, what are some of the things that his word says? Well, one of the things I know that his word says is that we daily have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ. And there's nobody in here that likes to do that. Because we all have a sin nature, and our sin nature is selfish. And we like to serve self first. And the Bible says, daily, we're supposed to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ. That's hard to do. It's hard to do. It's against our nature. But if we know the Lord, then that's part of keeping his word, part of keeping his commandment, part of obeying the Lord. Well, what else does his word say? Well, I know in another place it says to be instant, in season and out of season, to give account of that hope that we have within us. What does that mean? That means telling other people about Christ. I mean, you've heard me say this before. If you had the cure for cancer, you'd share it, wouldn't you? You wouldn't just sit on it. Well, you got something better than that. You got the formula for eternal life, and that is Jesus Christ. So, if I'm a Christian, and if I'm keeping his commandments and obeying him, then I've got to obey his word, and part of what his word says is to be ready to give an account of that hope that is within us. That means sharing the gospel with those who may not know him. Obeying the Lord. The last part of point one says, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. By this we know that we are in him. Perfecting the love of God. If, according to point number one, if we're obeying the Lord, we're keeping his commandments, we're keeping his word, and are we loving? Is the love of God being perfected in us? I can't say that it is in me, not all the time. I have peaks and valleys. And some days I do really good, some days I fail. But am I striving to allow the love of God to be perfected in me, through me? I told my class this morning, they hear me in my prayers a lot of time, and you do too, I'm sure. Help me, God, to live my life in gratitude for what you've done for me. Being grateful. If I'm truly grateful for what God has done in me, then I try to live my life that way. And if I'm doing that, I'm allowing the love of God to be perfected in me. I'm not going to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect because we have a sin nature. But are we trying to allow the love of God to be perfected in us by sharing with others, by denying ourselves, by sharing the gospel? How do I know if I know the Lord? According to this passage of Scripture, first thing I got to do is be obeying Him. Be obeying Him. John says that if I'm not keeping His commandments, if I'm not keeping His word, if I'm not allowing the love of God to be perfected in me, then I'm a liar. I'm a liar. If I say I'm a Christian, if I say I'm a believer, and I'm not doing these things, John says I'm a liar, and the truth is not in me. And I'm telling you, the most important thing to know in this life is the Lord, is the Lord. Number two. We'll see this in verse 6, the first part of verse 6. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as we walked. Well, if we're going to answer the question, how do I know? And if number one is obeying the Lord, number two certainly has to be, according to this passage, abiding in the Lord. Abiding in the Lord. Well, what does that word abiding mean? Abiding is, when you're talking about a relationship, it is a relationship of complete dependence. Complete dependence. If I'm abiding in Christ, then I am completely dependent upon Him. I want to read you a passage of Scripture. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you if you want to jot it down. I don't know if you take notes or not, but John 15, 1 through 6. I'll read that real quickly for you. Christ speaking here, He says, I am the true vine, and My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in Me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in Me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in Me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without Me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in Me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they're burned. You see, you have the natural vine, which is Christ. And I'm pretty sure I saw my dad do this when I was younger. Didn't you graft one time two pecan trees? Let me explain to you as briefly as I can how that works. You have the natural vine. And then you have the wild branch. And the idea is to get the wild branch to bear what the natural vine is producing. So you have to make a specific cut in that vine. And then you have to make a specific cut of this branch so that it fits perfectly, snug, so that no air can get in there. And then if I remember right, you wrap that in wax to seal it, so that nothing can get in there and contaminate that union. And if it works, then the natural vine flows into the wild branch and produces fruit. And the fruit that the wild branch bears is of the vine, not of itself. And that's exactly what happens in a relationship between Jesus Christ and us. He is the natural vine. We are the wild branch. If we're grafted in and sealed, not by wax, but by what? The Holy Spirit. And if we abide in Him, then we're going to produce fruit, not of ourselves, but of Him, the natural vine. That's what abiding is. That's as clear a picture as I can paint for you of abiding. Is we are grafted in. We're wild branch. Lost and undone. And God. Now, does the branch graft itself in? Uh-uh. The vine dresser does. What did John say? God is the vine dresser. Jesus is the vine. God grafts us into his Son, Jesus Christ, and seals us with the Holy Spirit. And then as we abide in him, we begin producing fruit of the vine. Fruit of the vine. That's what abiding is. That's as clear a picture as I could paint for you of abiding. And John says, if we keep his commandments, if we abide in him, then we can know that we are of God. If not, if we say that we are of God and we're not keeping his commandments, we're not abiding, then we're a liar. And the truth is not in us. It's not in us. And you can fool yourself. You can fool us. You can fool probably even your spouse. But you cannot fool the one who made you. The one who knows your heart. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? You can fool yourself. But you cannot fool God. You cannot fool God. How do we know? Am I obeying the Lord? Am I abiding in the Lord? And lastly, am I walking as the Lord? Look at verse 6 again. He who abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. You grammatical geniuses out there, what is the word walk? Verb. And what is a verb? It's an action word. So we have to walk. We have to do something. We can't just sit. We got to walk. All right, how do we walk? According to this scripture. How do we walk? As he walked. We must walk just as he walked. Well, how did he walk? He walked selfishly. Selflessly. Selflessly. Considering others. You remember the story of the Samaritan woman? And you all know the history. I mean, the Jews would cross two rivers to go around Samaria so that they would not have to go through Samaria because they considered him unclean. Christ walked to the Samaritan woman. The very people that we go around, the very people that we ignore, the very people that we stay away from, the very people that we shun is the very people that Christ walked up to. We need to walk as he walked, selflessly. He also walked consistently. Consistently. Every day. Every day, the Bible tells us we're to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ. Christ walked consistently. Even when he was being wrongfully accused, even when he was trying to pray and was being wrongfully pursued by the government, he was consistent. He was consistent. Constantly, constantly living his life in gratitude towards God. Being the perfect example for us, walking as the Lord. We must walk selflessly, considering others. We must walk consistently, regardless of our circumstances. I get so aggravated I see people that say, oh, I got a headache or my throat's sore, so I think I'm going to skip church today. Will they skip work tomorrow? Most of us won't. Most of us will get up, fight through it, and go on to work. But when it comes to church, we'll lay it and say, oh, I don't. And we'll use this excuse, I don't want to spread it. I don't want to spread it. Well, take you some medicine and use some manners and don't spread it. But don't neglect the worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, we don't really understand who we are. We don't really understand who God is. We don't really understand the lengths and breadths and depths of what He has done to reconcile us to Himself. We don't understand that. We don't really believe that, or we don't really understand that, or we'd have to calm you down during the worship service and say, okay, it's time to settle down. It's time to break the word open and share. We don't really understand what the lengths that God has gone. And that's what we looked at this morning. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. And they don't know what we shall become. When we see Him, we shall be like Him. The world doesn't know. Heck, we don't even know. We don't even know. We don't even understand what God went through, what God did to allow us to be adopted into His family. If we really did, folks, if we really did, and I'm as guilty as anybody, if we really did, we'd have to calm you down during the worship service so that we could preach. Because we would just be so overjoyed and so open to worship Him, to realize that we would not have a spot in the family of God had He not chose to put us there. Had He not sent His Son to die on the cross for my sin, His Son who did nothing, I who deserve to be eternally separated from Him in a place the Bible calls hell with no hope, but He fixed that for me. Because of that, you ought to have to grab me by the belt and sit me down every Sunday morning and say, okay, shut up. It's time for Brother Tommy to preach. We don't understand. We don't understand. To walk as the Lord, we need to walk selflessly, considering others, consistently, regardless of our circumstances, and sacrificially. We should walk sacrificially, honoring the Father and loving the flock. Honoring the Father and loving the flock. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Did He want to go to the cross? No. I don't believe He wanted to die on the cross. I don't believe He wanted to suffer capital punishment on the cross. But He did. And He did it for two reasons. And don't ever get these mixed up. Don't ever get these mixed up. The first reason was He wanted to honor His Father. He wanted to be obedient to what His Father wanted. Secondly, because He cherished the flock of God that God gave Him. He gave us to Jesus Christ as a love gift. But He did it first of all to honor the Father. Second of all, because He loved us. And you want to know if you're a Christian? Well, according to this passage of Scripture, are you obeying the Lord? Are you abiding in the Lord? And are you walking as the Lord walked? Earlier, I used Clint and Brother Leonard as examples. We had to present some facts and testimony to see if they were really who they claimed to be. Had to get some facts and some testimony to see if they were really who they claimed to be. What about you as a Christian? What about you as a Christian? What about you as a Christian? If we had to gather facts and testimony about you to prove that you are who you claim to be, could we do that? Could we do that? Could we find enough facts, and could we find enough people to testify to say, yes, I know they're a Christian? Please stand. Please stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Worship team, if you'll come, I'm going to let you sing without me. Brother Tommy may want to come to the front. I want to give you an opportunity. We don't often do this, but I want to give you an opportunity. Because like I said in the beginning, I feel like this is what God would have us have to talk about this morning. I've shared with you what His Word says. So there's somebody here that needs it. There's somebody here that needs to examine themselves to see if they're a Christian. Are you obeying the commands of God? Are you abiding in Christ? Are you grafted in, producing fruit that He wants you to produce? And are you walking as He walked? Is there enough facts? Are there enough testimonies to prove that you are a Christian? You think about that. You pray about that as we sing. If you're not sure and you want to talk about it, Brother Tommy's here. And you can come talk to him about it. Guys, we'll take up the offering in just a minute. But let's go ahead and sing. You think and you pray. You search. If you have need, God wants to fix that need today.
Surrender.